Blog Talk Radio.
I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Jesus is my captain. I shall not be moved. Jesus is my captain. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And if you're putting your hope and anchoring your hope in Christ Jesus, you shall not be moved either, because we know that the name of the Lord is a mighty tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. It's not by coincidence or incident that you tuned in to this wonderful broadcast special entitled Day of Discovery, produced by the Manna from On High Ministry Network International. You tuned into the right day, the right space, the right time on this glorious and victorious day it is, Tuesday, April the 18th, 2017. Another day, another living epistle, another chapter in your life. What shall you desire to see ascribed upon the pages, the angles of your life? Victory, joy, peace, love, prosperity, wealth, happiness, fulfillment, salvation, all of the bearings of good fruits. That's right, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God has so desired, so destined for all of they who love him, who trust him, who step out upon his word. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going by what man says, because we know that God's hand can change it all in a moment's notice. And truly, we are trusting God to perform that which you have been praying about, to perform that you've been believing him for, to turn back the hand of the enemy and to break down every force, every level of hindrance. And you know, when you trust God to do that, and you let go and let him, and you stop worrying about it, stop trying to figure it out, God will indeed work it out. But we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we praise God for just being God, and beside him, there is none other. Oh, my God, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And on this glorious and victorious day it is, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name above the earth. Who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength. Because of thine enemies, thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Will you just take time with me and just give raise to the praise and say, Lord God, how excellent are thy works. O Lord our God, how excellent are thy miracles. O Lord our God, how excellent are thy healings. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy presence. O Lord, how great thou art. How thou causes those who oppress us, every circumstance, every situation, every negative factor to be destroyed before our very presence, and you have handed us the victory. Oh, Lord, our God, how excellent, how excellent, how excellent. Oh, Lord, our God, how excellent. And when we say that word excellent, it means above and beyond meager explanation, beyond our even greatest expectations. Thou hast done these things. Thou hast done great things in our eyes. And we praise thee. We extol thee, O Lord. And I will praise you with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou hast set us in thy throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare amongst the people his doings. When he maketh inquisitions for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Oh, yes, praise his holy name. Let us just praise him for what he's not only going to do, but what he is doing now. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not them prevail. That's why I put the fear of God into them. I've read to you for your first listening consideration and your soul's rejuvenation, the eighth division of the book of Psalms. And I read some excerpts from the chapter of Psalms. Following that, the ninth division, I read verses 1 through 7. And I also read verses 11 and 14. That's right. And rejoicing in thy salvation. I just got to say that verse again, that I may show forth all my praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. And we know that our salvation comes through the name of the Lord. That's right. That's right. Through the name of Jesus. He is our Lord of Lords. He is our King of Kings. He is our master of each and everything. And when we give praises unto God, the blessings flood us. We receive that Shekinah glory dispensation where everything just starts coming on down. That's right, with the latter rain. That's right. The Shekinah glory is a special formulation of anointing that gives us the dunamis breakthroughs that we have so long anticipated. Amen. And we think about the latter rain. The latter rain is greater than the first. We know that the first moistens the ground. The second nurtures the very anomalies of nature, the vegetation, the plant life, the botanicals are rejuvenated. But oh, when that third level comes, that latter rain, this is when the sprawling, like the green bay tree, takes place. And this is your day of discovery, to discover the greatness in which God has imputed within you, to inspire you to get to that next level, to receive the very miracles of his presence. That's right. And we praise God, for we know that he is God, and beside him there is none other. And I know that Sunday, many celebrated the very essence of what is referred to according to the worldly standards as Easter. That's why many of us who are truly committed Christians said this is Resurrection Sunday. Let me tell you something. Every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, we should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's right. Because when we look at how he taught, he walked, he performed the miracles of God. He was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us. He dwelt with us. And when he made his ascension back into glory, he said that if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit won't come. That's right. He left his Holy Spirit, the imprint of his presence of his within every believer according to your repentance and your confession and according to your belief. The Holy Spirit is operable at all times. That's right. So knowing that the Holy Spirit quickened him, that's right, on the third day, and he rose, the Holy Spirit will likewise quicken our mortal bodies. That's right. And when we receive the baptism, the infilling, the infiltration of the Holy Spirit, it came to resignate, to resurrect that third level of our existence, the spirit man. That's right. We know we are threefold beings. We are physical. That's right. We know that we're encased in a physical flesh and shell. We are metaphysical. That means the combination of consciousness with the physical anomaly. And we are spiritual. We're three encased beings within one shell, a fleshly shell. When the Holy Spirit comes, it penetrates the vortex of the spirit man. It goes into your psyche, your consciousness, and awakens you and attracts you to the Word of God, to the things of God, to the truth, divine revelation. And this is when the spiritual gifts begin to encompass and begin to surface, and we begin to see the manifestations of God's presence by way of the presbytery, by way of the oratory gifts, by the gifts of faith, by the gifts of healing, by the gifts of works. All of these are the formulations, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be obedient to walk in the way so that the gifts of the Spirit will take manifest and will take us over. That's right, and to humble ourselves so that God receives the glory from our gifts. And this is what is so very important to do on this glorious and victorious day it is of discovery, of discovering your path of leadership, your path of calling, your path of spirituality, your path of fulfillment. Because sometimes you can get lost. That's right, when you get so overwhelmed with the various situations of the world, you can get lost in the sauce and begin to submerge to the system. But see, Jesus is our victory that overcame the world. And even so, we overcome through him every obstacle, every situation, every circumstance. We overcome through the blood of Jesus. And I think about that song that says, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus gives us power, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb." Because there is power, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Isn't it just wonderful to know that he done all these things so that we will be able to arise above and beyond all these things that come forth against us? That's right. And knowing that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, then let us continue on in the faith. That's right. Let us earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We are not to become the church that's worldly, but the world needs to be impacted by our presence. And praise God for the blood. We just praise him for his understanding, for his knowledge, for his wisdom, for his presence, for all these things. Because you know that in knowing these things, we're more than conquerors. We're equipped. We're equipped to do the job that God gave us to do. That's right. I want you to go with me to the first book of Thessalonians, the first letter. That is, there were two divisions of Thessalonians, the first being the very epistle that Apostle Paul brought to the church that was located in Thessalonia. And what happened was that they needed to understand, to excel in their newfound faith, to increase in their love for one another, and to rejoice and pray and give thanks always. Because why? During the phase of things that were transitioning around them, the church, every letter the Apostle Paul wrote was directed to a specific location. Every location is different, and you can see some elements. The church of Rome, they were definitely getting embedded into the carnal types of appetites and appeasements. So Apostle Paul had to set the record straight. We see the church of Corinth, they were having problems
but understanding the love of God and understanding the working of the Spirit and the love of God were unified in one. That's right, and they were being perfected through their works, but they were not being perfected through the Holy Spirit. So Apostle Paul had to give them reconciliation with his teachings there. We can see that according to the book of Galatians, that's why we see there was a necessity that they needed to understand who they were and how they were to be influential in society by the way that they walked according to Christian law and Christian stature, that they were not supposed to be compromising with the standards around them, but they had to live a grace-filled, humble life and keeping Christ at the center of their worship and the center of their existence. In the book of Colossians, it's talking about Christian ethics. That's about how to behave yourself in a manner that shows that they're to be rooted and grounded in Christ, not rooted and grounded in their own epitome of self-righteousness. But then we turn to the book of Thessalonians after Colossians. I'm just critiquing. I'm not going fully into the synopsis of each book, but kind of giving you a base level overview. And we see that the book of Ephesians talks about spiritual warfare. That's why we negated to talk about Ephesians. They have to understand you cannot fight a spiritual battle using carnal provisions. And this is what Apostle Paul had to get them to understand, that they had to fight the good fight of faith through the implementation of the Holy Spirit. They had to prepare for war, as the message that was previously brought about 3 years ago called Dress to kill off the attacks of the enemy. And again, Colossians was talking about good Christian ethics and moral behavior. But here we have the book of Thessalonians talking about the very affection of Christian living and to walk in that newfound faith so that the Spirit of God would emanate through them, through their works, through faith, hope, love, and perseverance, and that the persecutions would come, but they would overcome these areas. And so this is why the book first division of Thessalonians is so pertinent, because it lays the foundation to understand when these things come against Christians that they are to behave themselves in the like manner and not to give in to human emotion, because it's a natural response to give in to human emotion. So let's go again, 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Let's begin reading at the first verse. Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." That's Apostle Paul talking. He's letting them know that when we were at Athens, we were so overwhelmed and torn down, he's kind of giving a salutation as well as an explanation. And he talks about it and sent Timotheus, our brother and the minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That means they came to encourage you, he said, because we were overwhelmed and when we were in Athens, so that's the reason why we couldn't be here at that time. And so Romans, the 16th chapter, 21st verse, kind of gives extra connotation if you want to read that at your own time availability. Then the third verse says that no man should be moved by these afflictions for yourselves that are appointed thereunto. What does Apostle Paul say? He says, don't be moved by the fact that these things have come. They're not come to break us down or to wear us down. It comes to make us aware of who we are in God, and that we are forbearing these things so that the gospel must be preached. Before Christ makes his second return, the gospel has to be reached by every available venue. That's why on every continent, the gospel must be presented. He says, what? For verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation even as it came to pass, and ye know. Apostle Paul wasn't talking about they were hungry or homeless and they were suffering in their bodies, but the tribulation they talked about was that people were coming against them for what they knew was truth. That's why people could not accept the truth. Look at it here and now. There are delegated leaders of congregations. When the prophet or the prophetess comes and God sends that prophet or prophetess to come to that congregation, and oftentimes the leaders of that congregation will revile and rebuke against that individual. That's a formulation of tribulation. They are causing issues that should not be. So tribulation is the act of confronting something that you did not invigorate or did not cause by your own volition. this is something that came against you, and as a result, you may not be respected as highly as you should. That's right. But you know what he says? For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. That's why some means the temper has tempted you and our labor be in vain. He says, now, I forbore. Now, we're not going to face the things of Apostle Paul and the other ambassadors of the early church faced, because why? Life has changed. That's right. Things are more advanced and more coherent, more innovative now. And tribulation doesn't come in the way of the ways that they suffer. And tribulation comes in the ways of sometimes when you don't want to do the things that other people want you to do and act in the manner in which other people don't want you, they want you to act. Sometimes it will cause them to be slackened toward you and to try to coerce other individuals against you. So don't think tribulation is something that just comes in life, you're feeling a down period. Sometimes it's things that are coerced by those who profess to be Christian leaders who will instantaneously try to cause things that will escalate or be a catalyst in activating tribulation. That's right. So, but now, when Timotheus came from you and unto you and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always also to see you. What is Apostle Paul saying? So when Timotheus came and he gave the good report that you all were continuing earnestly for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints and that you were praying for us, that's right, that did our hearts good. We knew that we were doing what God loved. That's right. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in our affliction and distress by your faith. What did he say? He knew that his preaching and his teaching had not been in vain, as well as the other apostles, because remember, we did not have the written script in those days and times of the apostles. So God had to send forth commissioners by word of mouth who declared his truth. That's why nowadays we have written text. So when other individuals try to disperse and to debate whether you're speaking the truth now here on this day of discovery, you have the written text. You have the word of God. That's why, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, to divide it both asunder, both bone and marrow, even discerning the intentions of the heart. You can pull your sword, but back in that day and time, they had to depend on the grace of God, his infinite mercy, and the power of the Holy Spirit to be proactive in speaking, because they did not have binary or written text. He says, for we live, if ye stand steadfast in the Lord. What is the Apostle Paul saying? So now we're able to quicken. We revived. We've regained. We're getting souls, meat for the master's use, because you have been diligent in your stand in the Lord. You have trusted God that he will supply us, that he will supplant us. He will send us where we need to go. And that's what Apostle Paul was saying. So what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? He's saying, we thank God that you have withstood, that you have accepted the word, you have moved forth, you have allowed the word of God to take manifest in you. You shouldn't have said that you were a Christian 25 years ago, and here you're struggling with the same issues in your life. Here on the day of discovery, the same issue, the same circumstance, you're still wrestling with it 25 years later. No, there should be some growth possessions. It may not be a miraculous impetus of growth, but it's some steady yet inclinating growth that is noticeable. That's right. So you may have had a temper problem. Not saying that you're not going to ever experience having a temperament problem. But no, we should see some growth. We should see some grace overwhelm you, whereas you get angry, but not nearly as angry as you used to get. He's saying we've seen growth in you. We're seeing perpetuation within your life. And this is what lets us know that our working is not in vain. He said, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. What is he saying? He's saying, now let God's presence, his power, be that inspiration unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to keep you in that way. Keep your eyes on the prize. Be consistent. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abiding in the Lord. Let me tell you something. Miracles come, but sometimes God is preparing things. He's breaking things down. He's rearranging and availing things so that things will go right in your life. And this is what he's saying. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in his love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. What is he saying? So that the love of God, see, the love of God is the foundation of all things. See, when you have the love of God, you can forgive those who have wronged you. When you have the love of God proactive in you, you can walk past your enemies and bid them good morning and good afternoon. When you have the love of God in you, when people have mistreated you and have done you wrong, you can smile and give them the same response that you would have done even though they never, ever offended you. And in doing so, when we love those who have hated us, when we speak well of those who have despised us and done evil things, don't you know that God is going to use them as a stepping stone, as a catalyst to produce that miracle in your life? The very person that told you no once, told you no twice, God will break their back, and on the third time, they will come to you to present the miracle because you walked in love. So this is where the enemy tries to attack the children of God through the flesh. He knows that we're not going to kill because the word of God institutes to us by the way of the Ten Commandments, and we know that killing and murdering is wrong. It's not justifiable. He knows that we're not going to steal because the word of God tells us we should not steal, and King David supports it in the variations of what he spake in the way of instruction and wisdom and Psalms, and so his son even instituted the fact that stealing is wrong, but to him that stole, let him steal no more. That's right. We know that that's wrong, but in the way of being tempted not to love people, we find it easy to express charity, express love to people who have been lovely or kind to us, but when it comes to people that have abused us, mistreated us, treated us as though we were an inferior, it's a difficult problem when you walk in the flesh. And that's why he's saying you have to pull off the very essence of the flesh here on this day of discovery. That we, when we walk in the spirit of love, we walk in forgiveness. This is what fuels the miracle of God. That very person that had turned away from you and against you, and that spirit of iniquity got upon them to do you wrong and mistreat you, God will use them as a stepping stool, and he will humble them before you and make them produce the miracle that he promised you. That's right. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What is he saying? That God will restore you. He will bless you. He will prosper you. He will keep you. He will love you. He will show his grace unto you, his amazing grace unto you, because you have kept these commandments. That's right. And this is what God loves, those who bear his word and bear his truth. And here in the book of Thessalonians, it's telling us that it's base level Christian instruction. Now, if we go, we can correlate the fifth chapter of the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, by exonerating the very essence of the spiritual gifts and the very commandments of the Holy Spirit. He says, now, see that none render evil for evil. This is 5:15, unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves to all men. Well, why? Because God is going to give you the breakthrough. If he has to break them down and give you your breakthrough, he's going to do it, but you got to walk in love. See, greater love having no man than a man to lay him down his life for his brethren. And Jesus, our Messiah, said, you are my brethren. That's right, so I lay down my life for you. That's right, and so that we may find life and that more abundantly, walking in his love and walking in forgiveness. The 16th verse says what? Rejoice evermore. That means be joyful, be happy. 17th verse, pray without ceasing. Pray throughout the day. When you say, I don't have nothing to pray about, pray about the fact you don't have nothing to pray about and just praise God that you don't have nothing to pray about and start praising him and just let the supplications flow from the essence of the Holy Spirit. The 18th verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's why I'm saying, thank you, God, for the smallest blessings that you give to me, the ability to open my door. I have a home to live in. I have a bed to sleep in. It may not be a King Coil mattress, $5,000, when I thank you, God, I have a doable mattress and I'm able to lay down and I'm able to rise up. Thank you, God, for all of your blessings. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you the ruler of many. The 19th verse is very important. It's existential to every Christian believer. Quench not the Holy Spirit. We don't care who says what, how, when, where, why, what for. When God puts something in your heart to speak, you speak it. If you, the Spirit of the Lord leads you within, that say praise God, you say praise God. When God gives you a word of prophecy to give to a certain sect, a certain congregation, a certain person, you speak that word. Don't you dare quench the Holy Spirit. You are playing with your spirit life. You are playing with your natural life. You are playing with the course of your life. I'm a living testimony. If you don't do what God said do, he'll break you down. He'll shake you down and cause you to run and do what he said do. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's why I look at Jonah in the belly of the fish. When God told him to go to Nineveh and to speak the word and to speak his very, very message to those people about deliverance, Jonah decided he's going to take another course because he decided he's going to quench the Holy Spirit. You see what happened to him. He got swallowed up in the belly of the fish, and when he prayed and realized how he had wronged himself and being disobedient, he prayed and asked God for forgiveness for what happened. God released him from the belly of the fish. He took that three-day journey and made it in less than one day. It said, 20th verse, despise not prophesying. Sometimes the word comes very hard. Sometimes it shows us things about ourselves. So, oh, thank you, Lord, help me to be all that you'd have me to be, not what I want to be. That's right. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That's right. That means be ready and quick and vigilant to support the word of God, to speak his name, and not be ashamed to speak his word. Even when people sneer at you and call themselves Christians, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God is going to honor his word. His word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. The 22nd verse says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means don't do things that don't look like, don't feel right. You know, if it feels evil, it seems evil, then it's evil. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. Act upon that conviction. That's right. And you will be blessed with amazing grace and God's divine favor every time. The 23rd verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the 23rd verse. And when you do these things, he says, divine favor of God will follow you. That's right. God will tear down doors. He won't open doors. He'll remove doors and give you free access to what you ask him for. You don't have to pray that God needs divine favor. God will move those who have hindered the favor and will set you on high amidst the kingdom of men because you have honored his name, you have spoke his word, and you were not ashamed. And this is what God loves, is the truth. That's why his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we praise God for you on this very wonderful Tuesday, another page in your life. That's why a page that God is going to reveal his divine presence and his miraculous working power. And we pray that this week is a week of perpetuating miracles in your life. You got your host with the most from coast to coast. On this day of discovery, don't get sad. Get glad. We're going to come back with future broadcasts for your day of discovery. Have a blessed, miracle-filled day and a miraculously intervening week. We'll see you again real soon. Don't forget to tune in with us on Saturday. That's why on What's Happening Now, we're going to have award-winning author Dr. James. I call him Dr. James. Dr. James Brown, talking about his fourth publication about whether or not you're an asset or a liability to the kingdom of God, about the shepherds who are scattering the sheep. And don't forget, on Sunday, we're going to come back at you with manna from on high at 5 o'clock p.m. That's right. And on Sunday, Saturday as well, will be 5 o'clock p.m. We're talking with award-winning author James Brown, Jr. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Shalom. Be blessed. We'll see you real soon. Oh, yeah.